Sometimes, if a student of ilm, if a student of knowledge, if you see him or her working hard, making effort, and the student works hard, makes a lot of effort, goes to the library and gets books and stays up in the night and revises, learns text, and make sacrifice on a lot of personal things and time, because the student has a maqsad, an objective behind him or her. And the one objective that the student has is that when I sit ultimately in the examination, then I want to be successful in the examination. That's it. That's it. That, to attain this objective, there are two things. Either success will be attained or not success. Either pass or fail. Until today, we have never heard from a student of knowledge, a talib ilm, that, oh, I'm working hard and studying so I can fail. Never. Have we ever heard that from a student? The weakest and poorest student of knowledge will have one same maqsad and objective, that I want to pass. I want to pass in a nice way. And so all of us, we are in the same situation. We are in the same situation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us here, and we are in a test, a trial. And these are all verses of the Quran that are being shared here or discussed. And all of us are akin to a student. And all of us have the objective, the common objective, one. That what do we become? Successful. We pass on the day when it counts. That's our objective. Whichever person is working, living, striving, nobody will say like that poor talib ilm, oh, I'm working hard to fail. Everybody will say, oh, I want to pass. I want to pass. Now, the student of knowledge in the world, if he fails, worst case, he'll get another chance. He can give a supplementary examination or an additional examination or do retakes or retake the certain year, the specific year. But in this, a person will fail. If a person fails in this test and trial, the real objective, then there's no second chance. Then there's no second chance to repeat, to retake. Say, Allah, I want to give the exam again. I want to retake life again. I will work hard again. The person will not be able to make such requests. But the exam that we are giving, oh, the exam that we are going to go through, it is a severe and solid exam. A person who fails once in this exam and the announcement is made that this person has failed, then the person who fails here in the world, maybe he won't get a job, he won't graduate. Okay, he'll take up another occupation to earn his crust. But the person who fails in the hereafter, that will be very dangerous. When it's announced, may Allah forgive, that this man has failed, then he has failed forever. Forever. And after failing in the hereafter, his hal, the condition will be very severe. So a direct jahannam, hellfire, severe result. You know, like you have the result, a roll number is called out and a bad result comes out. Allah Ta'ala says in my kitab, everyone's roll number is there to be called out. Remember this point. So read the Quran, understand the Quran. Quran explains many things, big things, nice things. And we are so busy, occupied in our life, we have no awareness what's going to happen. Where are we going? Where did we come from? What's going to happen to us? We're just running in our own single, unique, specific objectives. Somebody's crying for this, somebody's crying for X, Y, Z. My brothers, let's experience the person who's departing from this world. When the janazah, the funeral prayer is being held, look, think, where's this person going? Yesterday night, where did he sleep? Where was his bed, his mattress, his pillows? People were around him, living with him. People loved him and were fond of him. And today, when we are going to see off this person, then his bed is not the same. He's got a different bed, a unique bed. He's lowered into the box, naked. Then he's thrown into the soil. This is the reality. And then we will realize there that who is successful and who is not successful. This is a very serious situation. And very concerning, something to think about extremely deeply. A lot. Everything, the first thing we have to think, that everything else is rubbish, is a waste of time, is nonsense. We need to pass. that when our result is published, may Allah Ta'ala say that you've passed, you are successful. This is called success. Success. So a big test we have in front of us. And we have very few days left. Life is short. And we've got a lot to do. A lot to do. And this is the biggest preparation we have to make, is for that hereafter, the test. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, the exam, Allah ta'ala has put it out. Yeah, sometimes if the exam is leaked, then the students, they enjoy themselves. Oh, I know the questions. Forget the past papers. We know this year's paper. We know the questions. Let's revise and prepare for the answers for the questions that we know are going to come up. And it becomes easy, then it doesn't, the exam, because the exams come out. The papers come out. Then he's successful. They know that three exam questions are going to come. These are the questions. The exam's been leaked. The paper's been leaked. These three questions will be asked. That's it. Easy. He will put all the books to the side and revise those three questions and the answers, and that's it. Spend the time of those three questions, half an hour, he'll remember the answers, and he's passed the exam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Pak has given us a big reward, a big gift, a pre-gift in the form of this Qur'an. And in this Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala has announced that I have leaked the paper, that how you will become successful, I've given you the questions and the answers. Allah Ta'ala has announced in this Qur'an, clearly, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. You read this, don't read this verse. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, clear the message. That listen, for success, what is the first thing we need? مؤمنون. You need to have iman. And if in that result, there should be an announcement of success, then the first thing, what should we have? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, truly to a happy state shall attain the believers. Yes, so with empty iman, we will not get success. We have to go next. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, that is the result. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ. That's the second stage. Have iman, have belief. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has given us iman, belief. It's present with Allah Ta'ala's fadl, His grace, and we have yaqeen, and we are grateful to Allah. So one side, we have the iman. We are so grateful Allah Ta'ala has bestowed us. And the biggest destination, the biggest hurdle, Allah Ta'ala has taken us over the hurdle. Thousands, millions, billions are stuck on this same hurdle, on this catch 22. What's belief? Should we believe? If you understand what is belief and to be grateful, then look at their situation when you walk around and travel and say loudly, Allah, Alhamdulillah, I'm so happy, I'm so grateful, whatever you've given to me, broken down iman I've got, but at least I've got iman with your fadl, your grace, Allah, such a great gift and wealth. That the foundation for success is what? Iman. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah Ta'ala announces this. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? So now we've got that with the fadl of Allah. When we get that, then we should have the qadr for this. And I've told you the tariqah for the qadr of this. That definitely experience and look around. And have khawf. That if we were in this situation, what would happen to us? If we didn't have belief, what would happen to us? Allah Ta'ala's karam, His mercy, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us such mercy and grace that in our hearts, He's given us the light of iman. He's allowed the light of iman to come into our hearts. So we shouldn't be ungrateful that we speak nonsense and say wrong things. Oh, where's Allah? Oh, how can we believe in God? Why should we believe in Him? We don't have a link with Him. Why doesn't God do this? Why does Allah do this? Why has Allah done this action? People complain. People reject. Oh, we're not saying that there's no God, but why does Allah Ta'ala do this? Why didn't Allah Ta'ala do it like this? Why didn't He make this easy? If Allah Ta'ala had done it this way, what would have difference would have made? Allah, why is this happening around us? This is all being ungrateful and no gratitude and not have conviction. Yes, Allah says, okay, fine. You don't see the difference in your opinion and my opinion, that I've given you the greatest asset. That at least your basement's been made. Your base, your foundation of success. But others don't even have the foundation. The poor souls. So never go into a futile waste of time talk. Never. So the first thing, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Then Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. What's the second thing Allah Ta'ala said? That for success, Allah Ta'ala has said nothing else. The second point Allah Ta'ala has made, you have iman, and you have, if you want to shout out for success, then the second thing is salah. So the exam has been leaked, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala has given us the basis for success and the solution for success. And the most foolish, jahil, and incapable person will be that person who realizes something, that I can get success through these actions. A student, and he realizes that this question is going to come up, and the questions are there in front of him, and he fails the paper, then I will say that there's no bigger loser as a student, unfortunate, than that misfortune, than that student. That's why people will be amazed in Jahannam. Those people, that how did this person come into hellfire? Who had Iman, he had belief, the paper had been leaked, Allah Ta'ala had leaked the questions, Allah Ta'ala had explained to him the questions and the answers. Let's think about our situation. And then we still go to Jahannam. They'll say, okay, fine, we failed in the first hurdle. We stumble at the first hurdle. We didn't even take Iman. But these people who had Iman, they had both things. So what is the second thing? Forget everything after Iman. What should we strive on? Make effort on? Leave everything else. What do we need to strive on? Make effort on? That's it. Put it into your pocket. Write it down. That the secret to my success is what? Is what? Don't worry about anything else. Don't look towards anything else. Don't go towards anything else. That's it. Just write on your heart that everything, nothing can make me successful. First of all, Allah Ta'ala has given me Iman, and after having Iman, what do I have to do? Pray Salah. That's it. Yeah? So that's the first stage. I have to correct my Salah. Now we see here that Allah Ta'ala has announced that you will be successful, that person who prays Salah. And today look at the hal of the Ummah, the believers, the nation today. What is the hal, this condition of our prayer? The situation with regards to our prayer. Salah is so essential. Salah is so essential that when a person, a Muslim, when he goes into a village, a locality, a city, in a country, the first building that's constructed is what? The masjid. The house of Allah. Automatically, the connection is made with Iman for the masjid. Why is this? Because this is the true path for us to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing, that person, whoever has fikr and worry, you've come to this country. How did it all start? The work of the deen. Our older generation, they've departed. But ask those who used to work in factories and work hard in shifts. The first desire they had is, whatever we've got to do, first thing we're going to do, whatever they used to earn. MashaAllah, it was severe time. The people used to work in factories and manufacturing. They used to have pennies and shillings. I can't remember the name of the currency. It wasn't even a pound. It was a different name at that time. The shilling. Yeah? Shillings. We had shillings, and we had different coins and different types of currency, and their form was different. We used to be happy, kiss it and put it in our pockets, and we used to send it to India and Pakistan, and buildings were constructed there and here. Ah, the little coin. And today, mashallah, we have so much, and we kiss and say, ah, look at this note. And the pocket is full of the notes, different notes we see in the pockets of the people. And we see such notes, you haven't even seen them, that what kind of notes they are. Ajeeb, unique forms of notes. So what's this? So when they came, and we're sitting here, and we've got the masjid, Zakariya masjid, this masjid, that masjid, we've got so much today that we can go to wherever we want. It's so easy for us. But could those brothers imagine this? When they came here, they strived and struggled. But Allah Ta'ala said, this is my law, wherever Iman goes, Salah will go with it. That's it. That, mashallah, if the moon goes, the moon will come, and it will go, and the masjid will be there. Tomorrow a person will get up and complain to Allah that that falah and success is in Salah. But how could I pray if there was no masjid? Allah says, no, I won't give you the opportunity. Yes, three Muslims can go anywhere they want. The first fikr they will have is that, Allah, let's get a little place, a small place, let's pray together and give adhan. This is the first worry they'll have. So Allah Ta'ala has given us the link with Iman. Allah Ta'ala says, like we eat and we have fikr, that we have to have a Coke bottle. It doesn't matter if we're thirsty or not. We've got to have a Coke bottle. We've got to have a glass of orange juice. They don't drink this. No. But I need it. But water, just like with the food, the water is necessary, that, and the drinks necessary, orange juice. But with Iman, we need to have salah, prayer. And this is why when we construct the masjids, Allah Ta'ala has forced us to do this, that you have to carry out this action. How will it be that you don't do this? A man gets the money out of his pocket, buys the site, the land. He won't spend money anywhere else. He won't even spend on his own home, on his wife and children. But when it comes to the masjid, he'll take the money out of his pocket. And he'll say himself that I want to make the masjid, I want to contribute to the house of Allah. Doesn't matter if I don't press on anything else. I won't go into a madrasa. I'm talking about masjid, the house of Allah. And a person, Allah Ta'ala says, who has Iman, he has the link with prayer. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So the first thing is salah, prayer. We have to pray salah. No woman, no man. That Allah Ta'ala has given us the had, the hudud, the boundaries of salah. If a Muslim, a believer, man and woman is negligent with regards to prayer, then he himself is digging in the world while he is living the abode in hellfire. Allah Ta'ala has given us the fikr, Hazrat Ilyas rahmatullah alayh. Hazrat Ilyas rahmatullah, where was he born? Subhanallah. And he was born in such a locality, and there was no desire amongst his people for the deen. But Allah Ta'ala wants to take the work of the deen. Allah Ta'ala gave him the work of the deen, that the thing that's attached to iman. And Allah Ta'ala said, you work hard on this point. And he had such a taste and enjoyment for salah. So wherever he was in the whole world, it spread the effort on salah. You see this, don't we? We see this, that we speak and invite people, we're going to knock on the door, salah, come to salah. Such Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread that work of the deen through Hazrat Mulana Ilyas. Hazrat Mulana Ilyas, rahmatullah, in his words was power, in his actions was power, on the words on his tongues was power and energy. And people, maybe they rejected him and shunned him, and he made effort, but he said, no, please pray salah. Please pray salah. And in the whole world, the announcement's been made that salah is the greatest action. And we see, we have to look into ourselves that without this, understand that if a person in a house, there's no salah, the man and the woman, the children, they don't pray salah, then you have to decide, make the decision that there will be no mercy in our homes, there'll be no fadl in our homes, there'll be no rizq in our homes, and nor will shaitan run away from us. And we've made that decision and hung it up in our doors, on our walls, in our homes. We've made the solid decision that in our home, we don't want no rahmah, no mercy, we don't pray salah. And if salah comes into our house, no, we don't want that. We don't want the blessings. We don't want the mercies. We can keep on saying that we want mercy, but Allah Ta'ala has decided on the wretchedness in that home where there is no salah. In the village, in the locality, is decided that this locality and village will be destroyed. Allah Ta'ala says, one action of salah, it has the power, the energy. And where salah comes into the home, five times salah is prayed in a house, then that's the opposite effect. Then the rahmah comes, the mercy comes, the rizq comes, and the fadl of Allah comes, and the mercy of Allah comes. The whole of the focus and attention of Allah comes in that home where there is salah being prayed. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is salah. This is salah. Such a great action. Now we need to look into ourselves, analyze ourselves, that praying salah, Allah Ta'ala has given hukam that we have to pray salah. Now iman, so first step is iman, and after iman comes salah. But Allah Ta'ala hasn't just said salah. Allah Ta'ala says, "Alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un." Khashi'un. The third level here, Allah Ta'ala says that forgiveness won't come on just empty box of salah. That salah, don't just pray salah physically, the form. No, success won't come through this. On which salah will Allah give success? Khashi'un, Allah Ta'ala says, who are humble in their prayers. Allah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That Allah Ta'ala says that in every place in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So Allah Ta'ala says قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Successful indeed are the believers. And the second point, Allah says, I call you to salah. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. So the believers who don't just pray, but they are humble in their prayers. The person who prays salah, first he has iman. Step one for success is salah. Step two is salah. And salah, sorry, step one is iman. Step two is salah. And step two is salah with khashi'un, humble salah, sincere. A person who has belief and he's praying, but he doesn't have khushu in his salah, he's not humble in his salah, Allah will announce he's failed, he's third class, go towards the left side. The left side. Allah will say, go to the left side. I told you in the Quran, Allah says, that one salah, alladhina hum fi salatihim khashi'un. So now I've got iman, and I've got salah, and I've got belief, but where will khashi'un come into my prayer? Where will the humbleness come into my prayer? Where will the sincerity come into my prayer? Where will this come from? Allah Ta'ala has given us iman. Allah Ta'ala said there are people who don't have iman. And then Allah Ta'ala gives them belief. Allah says iman. People who don't have belief, give them tabligh. Propagate to them. Give them da'wah. Then people come towards salah. After having iman, then they come towards salah. So Allah says, first I give iman. If you don't have iman, give da'wah, call people to iman. Then when people have iman, call them to salah. When they come to salah, then give them da'wah for khashi'un. Just like recently, my link was with my sheikh, Hazrat Ali Murtaza, rahmatullahi. What did my sheikh do? He used to do work hard and make effort to give people khashi'un, the humbleness in their prayer. This is very important work we have to do. And if a person doesn't strive and struggle and make effort and utilizes energy and resources to bring khashi'un into his salah, then his salah won't be accepted. So where will khashi'un come into my salah? How will I have humbleness in my prayer? I can't become humble in my prayer by saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, just reciting. No, I'll present a hadith of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu. Ajeeb, beautiful statement. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, he didn't sit down and speak. He didn't speak on the prayer mat. Where did he sit? He went onto the member of Rasulullah, not on the low member, on the high member. He sat and he spoke. Subhanallah. And what did he say? On the high step on the member, and he sat down. And the believers were thinking, what will be announced today? What will Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu tell the Muslims, the believers? And all the Ummah should listen to this. This is the narration, the hadith of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu that I'm narrating today, I'm presenting today. Listen carefully. Wake up, be alert. And Hazrat Umar said, oh my brothers, Muslim brothers, Islam, Allah Ta'ala makes a person become old upon the deen of Islam. A person will become old. All his knees and his elbows and his joints will become old and they'll pain. But his salah will never be complete. Even before death, his salah is never complete. A Muslim, do you understand now what the Quran is saying to us in this verse? That Allah Ta'ala says you cannot be successful until that time you pray salah. Not just salah, empty box salah. You have to pray salah khashi'un. Hazrat Umar radhiyallahu anhu said that a Muslim becomes old and frail, but his salah will never become perfect until that day. And all of the Sahaba were amazed. They said, what is this that Umar radiallahu anhu is saying? That our salah is not complete. We've got to work harder. We need to improve it. We're old. What will happen about our prayer? Will it be accepted by Allah? What does this mean? We don't understand. Oh Umar, please explain. What are you saying? That how do we make our salah complete and perfect? How do we do this? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu said, the meaning of what I'm saying is this. That person who doesn't have khushu, and who doesn't have humbleness and sincerity and simplicity and focus to Allah in his salah, a person who doesn't have these three things in his prayer, his salah is not kamil, complete, and it's not accepted. It's not accepted. So what does this mean? This means what Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu is saying, that these things must be there in physical form, but we don't work hard to attain these things. Oh, pray salah. Oh, I went to a masjid. Brothers, you don't just go to the masjid and bop up and down in ruku and sajda and you think you've prayed salah. Pay attention. What is Islam? What is salah? What is prayer? It's not a joke. Salah is not some sport we play and go home at the end of the day. We have to present ourselves to Allah on the Day of Judgment. We have to stand in front of Allah. Think, will you be prepared? That one salah, and we pray it so rapidly, and we don't pay attention to the salah, we don't focus on the salah, we're not humble in salah. Allah said, look at this great sahabi, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, who's telling us the definition of prayer. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us an example. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you talk about success, about salah, the acceptance of salah, forget acceptance and success of salah, and khushu, I speak about two rak'ah salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may we give all our efforts. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated in hadith that two rak'ah salah, I speak about two rak'ah salah, forget about the rest of the farad in the day. Two rak'ah salah, voluntary, if a person prays with khushu, humbleness and sincerity, which Hazrat Umar has defined what is khushu. If there's sincerity and humbleness and focus to Allah in this life, if you pray two rak'ah salah in this way, Rasulullah has stated, forget about akhirah, in this world I guarantee to you, that individual after praying two rak'ah salah would be like that man who's just been born from the womb of his mother. He has no sins to his name, to his book of deeds, no sins. That's how valuable is two rak'ah salah with sincerity. And Hazrat Umar says in that hadith that you are old, your knees and your elbows, you run to the masjid and you've done sujood, and not one of your salah has become complete because you've not created khushu, humbleness, sincerity, and focus and attention to Allah in your salah. So these things are there, but we're not doing them. We don't feel them because we don't work hard on our prayer. We just throw it into touch. We think salah, Allah, alhamdulillah, we greet a quick surah after surah Fatiha, and we go into sajda and prostration, assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi, and we finish the salah. This is not salah. First stage is pray salah. Yeah, first step is what? Sorry. First stage is qad aflaha al-mu'minun. First bring iman. Then Allah says, alladheena hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Then make your salah the salah with khashi'un, sincerity, humbleness, and focus to Allah. I'll give you an example of humbleness in prayer. Humbleness in prayer. Hazrat Usman radiyallahu anhu, in his khilafat, a man came. This was a great day and age, a great generation. Hazrat Usman was the khalifa. And then look at their status, their practice. Because they understood these hadith and words and verses of the Quran. They knew, they felt what was salah. And I'm not giving you an example of a Sahabi, I'm giving you an example of an individual at that time. I can give you examples of the companions, but their examples were great. I'll give you the example of a normal person. How did they pray Salah? What did they understand Salah is? They didn't just pray Salah within a few seconds and just throw it away. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, it was his generation and there was a man. And this man was rich. And the rich man, you know, rich man, even today, if he's rich, he has a farm and he goes there to a retreat, he has land and he takes his children. We have this, they go with their wife and the children and they have date palms, especially in the Middle East, the businessmen with the farmland. And I went with a few of them, the nomads, they used to give us invitation by chance, at a chance in Al-Madina Al-Munawwara. I said, Subhanallah, we read about this today, they have the same habit in Al-Madina Al-Munawwara. On the day off, they go to their village out of the city, they go to the farmlands, their orchards, the date trees, and they break off the branches and they have the dates and the women on one side and the men on one side and they're sitting under the shade of the tree, they're drinking gawa tea. And I said, Subhanallah, what about the generation of Rasulullah and the Sahaba? So when I saw this with my eyes, I was so happy and I was enjoying it. So this person at the time of Hazrat Uthman was standing in his orchard, in his date palm, and he's praying his salah, nafal salah, voluntary salah, he's praying, doing ibadah. And while he was doing ibadah, praying salah, it was the season of the dates and the harvest of the dates. And the people, the businessmen, obviously they have the attention, the tawajjuh to the dunya. While he's praying salah, his eyesight fell onto a bunch of dates. Onto a bunch of dates. And he prayed salah, finished his salah, and he said, this salah is not accepted. He said, why? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. He said, there's no khashi'un in my salah. How did my eyes wander away from my prayer mat and look at the dates? Brothers, let's look now. We are sitting here. We think we've bought paradise. Imagine how much we have to work hard for paradise. We have to work hard for paradise, brothers, to go to the akhirah to get paradise. We need to work hard. Don't just say, I prayed salah. Ran to the masjid, ran back, prayed within 2 minutes. No, when he saw the dates, the bunch of dates in his prayer and his salah was spoilt, his attention was diverted, he started to cry. We have millions of whispers in our minds during salah. We say, oh, it's okay, I'll make up for it next time salah. He said, how did this happen? He went straight to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu. He went straight to the Amir, not to the normal man, to the head. Imagine the head. If this normal man salah was like this, he went to the head. He said, why are you crying, Hazrat Uthman? He said, such a weird thing happened to me today in my prayer. My salah is dead. He said, is it qaza? No. He said, what happened? He said, I was praying and I got diverted by the dates. Hazrat Uthman said, your salah, what happened to you? He said, my khushu went, my eyesight fell on the dates and I enjoyed myself looking at my dunya in my salah. Hazrat Uthman, imagine his hal. He started to cry. He started to worry about himself. That me, I'm in this stage as well, subhanAllah. And he started to cry. He's crying, the man who prayed salah, and Hazrat Uthman started to cry, the lovers. And we say we are lovers today. And he's crying, that man Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What a personality he was. And he was Amir and he started to cry. So after a while he said that I have understood one thing from your story, that enemy who took the humbleness from my salah, I want to finish that enemy. This whole orchard of my date trees, in this season, with all the dates, for the sake of Allah, please accept my sadaqah, I give my whole orchard away in sadaqah. Ah, subhanallah. That was the value he placed on his salah, because he was that personality, he was prepared. He wanted to be ready. Allah, on the day of judgment, I want you to accept my prayer. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah want to be in that group of people. Subhanallah. And this is the iman of a believer. And here, Hazrat Uthman, he could have said, leave it, how are you going to feed your children, your business will finish, it's okay, wait, keep half and give us half, oh, take out a bit of sadaqah. No, because today we have many fatwas and maslas. Oh, okay, we'll take the charity but keep some and take the interest and eat the interest, no loss. And you can take thousands of maslas and we forget, what does the Quran say, what does the hadith say, what is the crime we are committing with the haram? But we want to go to someone somewhere, get the maslah, to make all of our haram deeds dice. Yeah? But what is taqwa at the end of the day? We have fatwas, but what about taqwa? Fear of Allah. Fear of Allah or not? Or don't we have taqwa? Think for a few moments. Think. Beware. Don't waste the time. Live your life on taqwa, brothers. Live your life on taqwa, not fatwas. So what happened? No fatwa from Hazrat Uthman. No fatwa, because taqwa was the name of the day at that time. The name of the day. Subhanallah. So Hazrat Uthman didn't take a second. He didn't waste a second on what he said, that man. Because maybe shaitan would attack him after he gives that tree orchard away in sadaqah. Before he could even think for a second, Hazrat Uthman gave away the whole orchard for 500 dirhams. And he sold it straight away. Immediately, the 500 dirhams, He gave that out in sadaqah immediately, so nothing was left. And both went into sajda and did shukr to Allah, Allah, such a big burden that you've taken off our heads. They were so happy. Aha, Allah, you've taken the utr from that man. He gave it to Hazrat Usman in trust. And Hazrat Usman gave the trust away, 500 dirhams, and they spent it on the sadaqah. Have we read this verse today? قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. These two verses are enough. I couldn't even finish the tafsir of this tonight. The chapter, the tafsirs we hear today, and they finish quickly. It's this person's coming, tafsir. I can't even understand how they do tafsir so quick. I swear by Allah, these two verses, after these two verses, a man shakes. He doesn't need to read Quran after this. This is enough for his life, for success. Forget the rest for a moment. At least ask the question today, salah. Alladheena hum fi salatihim khashi'un. How much have I prepared my salah to be accepted on the Day of Judgment? So khashiyun means I have to do severe preparation, like a student goes to school, college, university, and the paper is leaked before the exam, and he sees the questions for the exam. Forget the past papers, he knows the questions for the exam. He will prepare for those questions so he can pass. Severely he will prepare so he can pass and get 100%. So brothers, we have a test coming up, the trial on the Day of Judgment. Our iman will be questioned, our salah will be questioned. Should we not be working hard all our life to prepare for that day? So that's why you've come here to this majlis. The brothers who are running after me, dhikr, 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 dhikr. What is the reason for doing dhikr? Why do we do dhikr? Dhikr Allah, dhikr Allah, teach me dhikr, teach me dhikr. Dhikr of Allah, the walis of Allah who give courses, they prescribe courses. There has to be a result, a conclusion of dhikr. And the reason we do dhikr, and the spirituality, and tazki and tafsiyah, because there are many hadith are coming to my mind, but I have to summarize and conclude. Inshallah, we'll speak again another day. So the point I want to summarize is, how does khashi'un come into our salah? Khashiyat. How will we make our salah a salah of humbleness? What is the maqam of humbleness? It is related to the heart. So a Muslim who prays, he has to reform his heart and condition his heart to have salah of khashiyat. Khashiyat, khashiyun. You say Allahu Akbar, it's not your hand that is saying Allahu Akbar. When you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik, Yawm al-Din, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Do we know what we're saying? Pay attention to the words. I say even just on Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we should be crazy on the meaning of these words. Rabbul Alameen. And if you're saying Rabbul Alameen with humbleness and sincerity, and you're not moving an inch, tell me your situation when you're saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. How should you be feeling your heart? You should be trembling and shaking. Do you feel the difference now? That if you stand up with the tajweed, the long ghunnas and the rules and all of the etiquette, fine. But if you don't have the feeling for the salah and the emotion, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Maliki Yawmiddin. What's the meaning of this? Now let's take a draw a sketch now. Maliki Yawmiddin. What does this mean? Draw the sketch of Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah, the owner of what? The Day of Judgment. Imagine the Day of Judgment. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Allah, I'm totally on the wrong path. I'm astray. I'm deviated. Allah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Another hadith comes to my mind. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated that as long as you pay attention to Allah, Allah will pay attention to you in the salah. Imagine this hadith. Imagine. The rewards and the feelings and the emotions. Allah's Rasul said, as long as you're saying Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Allah says from the heavens, oh my servant, I can hear you, I'm paying attention to you. This is the dialogue when you have humbleness, sincerity, and focus on Allah in your salah. And then that's salah. Isn't it a good salah? Do you understand the words I'm mentioning? Do you understand the masail of salah now? Subhanallah. And how will this happen? Not from your hands, not from your tongue, not from your legs, not from your arms. One organ in the body. If that's correct, your heart, if you have nur of khashiyat and humbleness in your heart, then all the limbs and organs of your body will bow to Allah when you're praying salah. And they'll recognize Allah when you're praying salah. Because it's the order of the heart that runs the show. And if in the heart you have kharafat and wrong and evil and sins and dunya and glitter and glow, and you're just used to praying salah like a parrot, then your body, body ungans, they won't think about salah because your heart is thinking about dunya. Your heart is thinking about dunya at that time. So your heart has to be reformed. Humbleness needs to come to the heart, and sincerity has to come to the heart, and focus has to come to the heart. And the heart should be speaking to Allah. Where does nur come into? To the heart. That's why stated by the elders, the walis of Allah, the pious predecessors, they say that I see to the arsh, the state of my iman. People think that I'm a waste, like a twig. They think I'm a waste of space. The people, the walis of Allah say that the people of the world, they think I'm a waste of space. But they're not speaking rubbish, because it's not the eye. Rather, their heart is so big, so full of nur, so clean, that their heart can see to the heavens, and they're paying attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the reality. And they don't think that your iman is a minor. When the heart is made, it is so full of light, is so powerful, the iman, that the whole of the universe in front of a Muslim, a believer, is like a little speck of dust. It's not worth anything, because he's seeing from the heart. And in comparison to the heart, Allah Ta'ala says the heart is such a place that nothing can be kept in the heart, but only the iman can be kept in the heart, and Allah Ta'ala's love can be kept in the heart. Nothing else. So when a person has muhabbat and iman and love for Allah, the whole world for him is like a speck of dust. He says, Allah, I'm forced to be like this, that my heart has become so big that everything of the world is a minor for me. I don't have love for no dunya. Nothing has value to me apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his deen. So brothers, what do we have to work out on, my friends? Salah. We have to pray salah. And then on what? The salah with khashiyat, with humbleness. And what do we have to do to bring humbleness into our hearts? Say it loudly. What do we have to do? Work on the heart, on the condition of the heart. It's not our heart, it's Allah's heart. And we have to work hard and make effort on the heart. And what do we have to do? Make it shine. Make it shine. Rub it. Shine it. Take out khairat. Do good deeds. Many hadith are coming to my mind. Inshallah, next time I will discuss with you that how we have to take the thoughts and the good things and bring them into the heart. So this is the summary that we have to work hard. MashaAllah, you've come here to do dhikr. Take dhikr seriously. Do you understand? We've come here to make our hearts clean and full of humbleness and sincerity. When I went to my Shaykh Hazrat Sahib, rahimahullah, may Allah ta'ala fill his qabr with nur, subhanAllah. And Hazrat said, with enjoyment, that you've come to me, and here there's no kashf, there's no miracle, there's no dunya, there's no play here, nothing here. He said, so here, think, why have you come here to me? Why have you come to my company? Why have you come here in my presence, my company? There's no kashf, no miracles here, no magic here, nothing else I've got here. Nor am I the wali wala, nor am I a darvish. Huh? I know one thing I can do, and I've been given a duty, so why have you come to me? Hazrat said to me, oh man, that I don't know you, why have you come here? Why have you come to my company? And here was Asif Faruqi from before, and Allah Ta'ala prepared me and sent me there, and I went there with an objective, with a reason, and I was in a bad state at that time from my life. I was fed up with wealth and the temporary life of this dunya. I was fed up. There was no corner of the world I had not traveled before I met my Shaykh. I knew every part. There was no university where I had not studied. I have the knowledge of every subject, and I had that read that knowledge of geology, geography, politics. I was fed up of the world. I said, wow, wali of Allah, what a question you've asked me. And look, listen to my answer. I said, Hazrat, you've said the right question. Why have I come to you? Wallahi, this was his first question to me, my Shaykh. And that's when you succeed in answering the right way. Because the heart, the person has to have a plan. Where am I going? Why? When you go to the meat shop, you know you're going to go and buy leg meat, leg mutton, shoulder meat. You go there and stand. You ever think, for half an hour, what shall I come? Did I come to buy chicken, or did I come to buy breast, chicken breast, or keema, or mince? You know what you want to cook today. Give me one chicken roaster, this and this and this. And he quickly cuts it and gives it to you. So when you go to the wali wala, you have no plan. Well, you're asking, you're foolish, stupid person. So I had a plan. I was enjoying myself. Allah, take me to the wali of Allah's headquarters. And it didn't take me a second. He asked me, why have you come? And I said, straight away, I said, why have I come? That I've come here, O Shaykh, to leave the dunya, and I want to do dhikr, and I want to teach dhikr. And I gave three answers. Subhanallah. And Allah Ta'ala, I didn't know about dhikr before, about Quran, about deen. And Hazrat said, this man is sadiq. And these people who are sitting here, and this is what I teach. He said, on his tongue, he is given the right answer. And on his heart, let me make alive the dhikr of Allah. Still today, until today, I'm thinking, I swear by Allah, how did I answer these questions in this way? But when you have the niyyah, sincerity, then Allah Ta'ala creates the means to give you the success. So make your niyyah correct. Okay? So when I gave these three answers, Hazrat said, this is what I do, my son. Sit down. I will teach you this. And nobody else came close to Hazrat, between me and Hazrat. Not that day until the evening. Nobody to come until Isha. It was me and my Hazrat. And that's it. My teacher. So this is, brothers, this is what we're here for in this dunya, to learn this. The whole life long, till the end of the life, I never asked Hazrat no other question. People in the world came, do this dua, give me ta'weez, give me this help. No question. I asked everything from Allah by asking for you. And after this day, my hands did not raise for the dua. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel, the kalamats, and do dua and ask Allah. Whatever I was to attain, I took from Hazrat. My Sheikh, I didn't ask for children, shop, money, dunya, nothing else did I ask my Sheikh to do dua for. I wanted Allah and I got Allah through my Sheikh. So what was this? What did we work hard on? Because you had to work hard on the heart, make the heart shine. Make the heart shine. Prepare your heart for salah, for prostration, for ruku, for bowing, for prayer. And that is the preparation I'm making till today, my friends. And that's what I'm teaching you. Nothing else. No Sufism, no games, no sect, and no cult. We all come for this niyyah to make our hearts correct. Not for kashf and miracles and karamat. What do we have to do? Correct our heart through salah, through the heart. May we learn how to do prostration and of humbleness in our prayer and in our deen. Allahu Akbar. I remember an Arab in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. What people Allah Ta'ala creates. One night he came to me. I was in itikaf. An Arab in Al-Madinah Al-Munawwarah. And people say that Arabs are not Sufis. He came. He was in itikaf. I was in itikaf. And he was rich, wealthy Arab. And he came and said to me, Hazrat, Sheikh, it's night time. Everyone's sleeping. He was in itikaf. Ah, old days. I'm talking decades ago. And he came to me. I see there's an Arab. He's come to me. He said, Ta'al hina. Come to me. Ta'al hina. Come to me. He called me. I said, Minain, where are you going? Where are you from? Where are you going? I said, what is it? Why are you calling me? He said, come, Sheikh. Important point. We were walking. There was darkness in Medina at that time. In Masjid al-Nabawi. He took me there in a corner. And I said, yes. And he said, Sheikh, I am old. And he said, Anta Sheikh, I am old and you are the Sheikh. And he said, I was watching you from some days. I'm sitting behind you. I'm looking at you. He said to me that, teach me. I thought, I reflected. I said, why do you want to learn tasawwuf? He said, there's a reason I want to learn tasawwuf. Tell me about tasawwuf, subhanAllah. So due to this majlis, I'm telling you this. He said, I said to him, you want to learn tasawwuf? Why do you want to learn tasawwuf? He said, Sheikh, I don't want nothing else. I speak honest and straight to you. That I know through the walis of Allah, you learn the Nene Sola. And I've watched you, I've seen you, and I know you're a Sheikh. So I want to ask you a question. I said, what? He said, I want to learn tasawwuf from you for this reason. That my prayer, I want to make my prayer like that. That I want to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aha, and he started to cry. He said, for this reason, wallah. And I'm the witness. And he said, I want to learn tasawwuf from you, spirituality from you, that you can prepare my heart so that I can learn to pray salah properly. Please, because I love salah so much. And he started to cry. And I said, okay, no problem. So the reason I'm sharing this with you is that he had a niyyah. He had a desire. So me and you have to have fikr for this. That tomorrow when we are standing on the Day of Judgment, how will we succeed? Through salah. If you want to be wali of Allah, you don't get wilayat. We haven't come to this world to become walis of Allah. And many people will be listening today. Many of my students, all over, brothers and sisters, correct your salah, brothers and sisters. When you make your niyyah correct, then this salah will pierce your heart and take you to the correctness of your salah. And you'll have preparation for the beautiful salah. So the lataif, the lessons of dhikr I give to you. If in the first sabak I give you latifa qalb, the lesson of the heart, when I put my finger on your heart, that is such a lesson that in the depths of your heart, if you're sincere and you pay attention to your salah and you do maraqbah and start meditating of dhikr of Allah in your heart, then in your prostration you will feel the effects of your dhikr. You will feel that you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your heart will make you feel. This is not some joke. We sit and do dhikr. Concentrate when you're doing dhikr. Okay, recite the ruchif now.